Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Cavaliers 15-1, still hotter than hell. Browns 2-8. Still cold as ice. Man who knows both about both these teams. CBS Sports, Westwood One. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Eagle joins us this morning. Ian, good morning to you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
We're doing okay. And the Cavs lost last night, but I thought they played well. Did you see any of that, or were you working?
I did have a game. It doesn't mean that I don't pay attention to what's going on. But, yeah, I had Nets and Hornets last night in big NBA Cup action.
What do you think of that NBA Cup?
I love the floors. They're so different and unique. And they pop. Is that good? Is that a good quote for you?
Well, Boston's was a little disorienting last night. You expect to see parquet in Boston.
Axel walked in the living room. He took a shower. He got down after wrestling. He comes downstairs and goes, "What is this?" I'm like, "Oh, that's the NBA
Soylent
Cup.
Soylent Green."
I had Knicks Nets NBA Cup on Friday night at Madison Square Garden. I've obviously been to Madison Square Garden many, many times in my life growing up in New York. And you walk out, and the court is a very bright orange. And I have no idea why, but I had this sudden urge to down a Sunny D. I just wanted to crush one of those drinks that were very popular in 1983. It definitely has a way of making you look twice. If you're watching highlights or if you're at the arena, you can't take your eyes off it. It's like an eclipse.
We can have different definitions of contender for whatever it is, but I mean, the Cavs are 15-1. They did just lose to Boston last night. Do you consider the Cavs contenders overall?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. Love their team. Love their coach. Obviously knew Kenny very well with the Nets and thought he did a fantastic job. And I think the question with Kenny, there was never any doubt about his ability to develop talent. That's what he's known for. That's what he's been doing throughout his career. He was in Europe doing it, came to the NBA, and then broke in via that role. The questions with Kenny were always based on in-game coaching, which he has already proven that he is right up there with anybody else in this league in terms of strategy. And then style, if his style, because he works these guys hard, and that should be a positive. What we're seeing now, it's being applauded for the way he approaches things. I do think he's adjusted, too. I think he learned a lot from not only his time with the Nets, but then going to the Clippers and going to the Warriors and seeing how Steve Kerr handles star players. That's a big part of coaching evolution and being able to understand that dynamic and when to push and when to not. And I just think he's done fantastic work. But yeah, the answer to your question, legitimate contenders. Love the chemistry on that team.
When there is a team like the Celtics, which I think have as close to a perfect roster in this apron era as you could have, it seems like at times everybody, at least in the East, is playing for second, but yet the Cavs had every reason to get totally demolished the way the Celtics were shooting last night. So I should feel better, right, that they hung in that game despite Darius Garland's all-time bad night.
Very much so. I think you want to look for whether or not a team is competitive in those situations because you laid it out. Everything would tell you that could just be a rough night, that you put in a different section as you assess the team. But they, time and time again, even in certain games I've watched this season where you thought, all right, they're done, this streak is over, they're down six, you're in the four. No, they always find a way, they always continue to fight. That means, to me at least, that the team has responded to the coaching. There's a buy-in, there's a collaborative nature. This group seems to have it, and you're right. Garland didn't have the night you were looking for, but overall this season, I think it's been the bounce back that most were looking for. Everyone wants to know, is that pairing the one that you can stick with, him and Donovan Mitchell, for an extended period of time? Most teams seek out that kind of backcourt, but we know, and you guys, I'm sure, dealt with it a lot more than than the rumors that I heard. We just didn't know if that was going to work and if there were issues behind the scenes. Nobody is talking about that anymore because they're proving it on the court night in, night out.
Ian Eagle joining us, CBS Sports Westwood One. I'll be on the call tomorrow on Westwood One for Browns Steelers. Okay, to the Browns, like I didn't think they would finish 11-6 this year. I didn't think they'd be starting the season 2-8. How surprised are you that they're off to this? It's the season now. It's not a rough start. How surprised are you about this rough season?
My first surprise, to be honest, in my preparation, because you sit down and you go with bare bones. My first surprise was it's now called Huntington Bank Field. I did not know that. So that's a big deal when you're a sportscaster and you have to say the name of the stadium. And it brought back a memory of mine many years ago doing a game for CBS in Oakland. And we're getting ready to do the game. It's like a half hour before the game. And someone from the Raiders walks in with a sheet of paper and hands it to us. And, you know, you end up getting things like that. It could be an inactive list. It could be some event they're doing at the stadium that they want to let you know about. And the sheet says that from here on out, our stadium will be known as this. I can't remember if it was McAfee Stadium or Overstock.com Stadium or O.com Stadium. It was one of those iterations where I thought to myself, really? This just happened? We're doing this 30 minutes before the game starts? So, you know, that's the first adjustment from a sportscasting standpoint. You want to make sure you say the right name of the venue. How surprised am I? I think something that you guys have learned about the NFL is every August you have optimism. You look at the best possibilities that could happen for a team. And the themes with the Browns were, okay, Deshaun Watson, another year under his belt, working with Stefanski. He saw what worked with Joe Flacco last year. He can put that into play. Nick Chubb eventually is going to get back. Defensively, saw enough good things last year under Jim Schwartz that there's going to be a carryover. These were all check marks, positive check marks going into the season. And then in the NFL, as you know, if it doesn't go that way and you start to really fall into the abyss, there's no other sport that makes you feel worse about things, because in the other sports, you can just disconnect. If you have a bad baseball team, I feel like you can separate yourself from the rest of Major League Baseball because you're not getting inundated day to day with that kind of information. You just separate yourself and find something else to do. NBA, same deal. Hockey, same deal. NFL, you can't do it. If your team isn't good, you're still in the muck. You can't get out of it. It's everywhere. It's every day. It's every week. And it dominates the sports landscape. So it makes you feel worse about your situation because you don't feel like you're part of it. And I think that's what Browns fans are feeling right now.
What is, you get to talk to people all around the league, what is the sentiment about Kevin Stefanski? Because some fans here are sick and tired of us saying two-time coach of the year. Yeah. Fans don't want to hear that right now when the team has this record.
Yeah, it's always interesting in these situations because if a head coach were to be let go, what's the first question that you have? Would he get hired somewhere else? Does he have a good enough resume that he would be given a second chance in another place? And I think in the case of Kevin Stefanski, the answer is yes. He has done enough. He has shown the rest of the league that you can win with him as a head coach, with him as a decision maker. So that doesn't answer all of the questions of local fans because some fans don't care, quite frankly. They just want to move on. They want someone new. They want a new voice. They want someone else to look at. I think what's really happened in sports in general, but certainly in the NFL, head coaches have become the lead spokespeople for their teams. You see them three times a week. You don't really hear from the GM. You don't hear from the owner. If there's ever an issue on the team, it's basically the head coach's job to articulate what the issue is to the media and then deal with the question. So when it's going well and you have a positive image of your head coach, you're cool with it. But when the team is 2-8 and struggling and the identity is now in question, you often just get blended in with the blame. And I think that's probably been the issue here. I do think if you want to really strip it down, we know what happened here. This is what takes place when you commit that much money and those many years and the guaranteed years, which they did with Watson. And I'm not sure Kevin Stefanski had a whole lot of choices. This is how it is. Make this work. Take this square peg and force it into the round hole. And we don't want to hear about any of the other options, because that's what this team needs to do in order to try to justify the moves that were made. That's pretty obvious to me. I would assume it's pretty obvious to Browns fans as well.
Ian Eagle joining us on the show. On the other side, I think the identity of the Steelers has never been clearer. They pull everybody down in the gutter. I think they challenge everyone as men. Yep. And here they are 8-2, and you look at their quarterback play, it's like, how? Especially in a quarterback league, but here they are again.
Yep. Yeah, I've had them quite a bit this year. I've had them quite a bit over the years, so I've seen basically every version of them under Mike Tomlin, prior to that under Bill Cowher. And you're right. There is a certain way in which they teach the game. There's a certain way in which they play the game. Yeah, I don't want to make it sound simplistic, like it's plug and play. You get a guy, you put him in your system, and then he does what the guy before him did. That's the goal in football. More than any other sport, that's the goal, because you're going 11-on-11. You need everybody to be on the same page. And the hope is that you find the right people to do the things that you like to do. In the case of Pittsburgh, the constant has been the head coach, from Knoll to Cowher, to Tomlin, and the three of them had very strong opinions and strong identities in how they want to do things, and it has rubbed off on their team. What I can tell you in regards to Mike Tomlin, look, you can't just take the production meetings and say, oh, I've got all the opinions I'll ever need because we spent 17 minutes with the head coach. But there is insight that you gain in the way in which he communicates, in the way in which he connects with people, in the way in which he looks you in the eye when he makes his point. It's mesmerizing. The guy has a command of the English language and a way in which to get his point across, and you could see how players would respond to him. You know, not talking about the game plan, not talking about strategy, which is a whole other category that I think Tomlin is excellent at. He just has a really good feel for what his team needs and when they need it. Even going back, I'm sure it popped up on your show, the switch from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. And I don't know what the reaction was. It was probably 70-30 against it. If you polled NFL fans, hey, what are you messing with? A good thing. It's working. The team's responding to Fields. And Tomlin stands up there in his press conference and says, nope, this is what's going on, and we're going to be better off for it. And he was right, again and again and again.
Yeah, we love hearing that here. Ian Eagle, join us on the hotline. I consider you an industry insider when it comes to TV, radio, and the media. So this is out of the blue. Yeah, this is out of the blue, so I can confidently ask you this question. What did you think about the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul extravaganza on Friday night?
Oh, what did I think? I didn't watch any because I had my own stuff going on. I believe I had a game that night and then was traveling early the next day to get to my next assignment. So I didn't see any. I do know that Antonio Brown got 6.3 million viewers on his feed, which to me was quite telling about where we are in society in general, that someone's feed goes down and they think, you know what, let me go to Antonio Brown's account. I think maybe then I'll be able to watch what it is I want to watch. Look, the obvious thing, as we know, on any of these things, the most fundamental, the most rudimentary aspect, you have to be able to see it before you even get into the analysis of the production, into the analysis of the way they want to present the event, it's gotta actually air. So I think we all understand that's the first step to making sure that people are happy.
And then you'll get to see Beyonce hopefully perform on Christmas Day when Netflix has those football games, and hopefully there will be no streaming issues.
I look forward to it.
No, that would be the other game. That would be in Houston.
Oh, that's the one that's on network TV?
No, that one is the second of the two games on Netflix. I am scheduled to work the first of those two games. So I'm scheduled to do Kansas City at Pittsburgh. I believe we have Houdini performing at halftime.
What?
I haven't heard.
I didn't even know you were on Netflix on Christmas Day. I apologize. I should have known that.
Oh, it's not a problem. Oh. There's no handbook on this.
Well, I'm not tuning in for Andy Reid or the Steelers. I'm tuning in for you. That's true story. True story.
Thanks. That's one streamer I can count on.
Well, my family's going to be over. I'm like, I know him. I know that guy. He's a good man. Swear to God. They get impressed. They are impressed by it. I swear to you.
Well, just pause the stream, and then if you can, put yourself right next to me on the stand-up in front of your TV and just send me the picture. Just to let me know that we're spending the holidays together.
He thinks I won't, but I'll have enough Bush Light, and I'll remember, and I will.
I just love that I know Ian Eagle is a lurker of Antonio Brown's Twitter account. That's a game changer.
How could you not? That feed is completely insane and very, very entertaining. So I like to participate in things that are entertaining.
Ian, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your time here, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Always great to talk to you. Sorry it wasn't under better circumstances. I'm not sure if we're going to do it again because I'm not sure I'm going to get a Browns game on TV the rest of the way. But always nice to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. Ian Eagle, we appreciate his time.
He's acting like they died. Like we have a dead football
team. Well, I mean,
it's been a death in the family.
It's time for a Browns funeral.
I'm sorry we had to get together under these circumstances.
It's like, you ain't going to do any Cavs games on TNT, or you never going to be here again?
At least you guys dressed up for the occasion. It's nice. You look good.
Which Fast and the Furious is it? He's in the one car and we're in the other, and that's how this is going to end right here.